Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, I want you to participate with this show no matter where in the world you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just tell us who you are, where you're from. And feel free to ask a question of myself or my guest. Joining us shortly, the brilliant Amy Ehlers, best-selling author, Big Fat Lies, Women Tell Themselves. She'll be joining us for what is sure to be an empowering hour of conversation. But first, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Let's keep doing it. Never, ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. We've been talking about this for years. You've been doing it for years. Get out there and participate, not only in your own journey, but participate in the journey of those around you. It's not enough to just know it. It's not enough to just know it. There's nothing gained in knowing the path. Folks, it all happens when you walk the path. Get out there and participate. Put it into action. The great Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see. It is about action, not philosophy. Get out there and participate. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Make a difference. Make a difference. And remember, we're all on the same. We're on the same team and in this together. So thank you for listening to and participating in The Power of One. I want to get to the show. Amy Ehlers is a best-selling author of Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. She's also the co-creator of Inner Mean Girl Reform. The other day we had Christina Lilo on. These two are incredibly dynamic. She's also a coach. Her book, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, I still get feedback about people reading this book. Powerful stuff. Anything to the empowerment of people, I love it. Amy Ehlers, welcome back to the program.
Steve, I'm like on fire over here. I just love being on your show so much because I get so much good mojo from just getting to spend an hour with you and your incredible audience. It's like the vibe that comes through the airwaves is just unbelievable. So what a joy and honor and pleasure to be back.
It's always great to have someone like you on because you're real and this isn't you're not an expert at being an expert. This is the stuff you live. You live it.
Yeah.
You go through it. You battle with it. And I love supporting authors like that and having you on the show because I get to have a chat with an incredible woman for about an hour. So we're going to talk today about inner mean girl reform. How important it is that we recognize and are able to gauge this internal dialogue that we have. Because a lot of times, Amy, as we're finding out, that we are poisoning, we are diluting ourselves, and oftentimes life and success and happiness even is just a matter of getting out of your own way, right?
Oh, it's the biggest thing. I mean, that's what I've noticed. I've been coaching now for going on 12 years. And that's the thing that I noticed, is that the thing that got the most in the people's way is their inner critic, is their inner mean girl, as Christine and I like to call her at Inner Mean Girl Reform School. And I find that that is the number one thing that gets in people's way so that we can walk our talk, so that we can live our dreams, have our highest calling, and make the biggest contribution that we want to make in the world.
And that's exactly it. It's really about releasing the greatest version of yourself. And this is what really drives me to doing what I do and clearly drives you to doing what you do. It's helping people recognize that it's you can, you're the point of origin. So you are nourishing or poisoning yourself at every minute of the day.
I love the way you just put that, Steve. I have to take my yellow highlighter out and say, nourishing or poisoning yourself at every moment of every day. It's so true. It is so true.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Yeah.
It is fascinating, and you've created this inner meme girl reform, which I love. You created a story, really, a powerful visual for people to see exactly who they're in contact with within themselves, and you simplify it in a point where people can understand it at the same time, empower them. Is this something that's a process of chipping away, or did you guys just dream this up overnight?
Well, you know, we dreamed it up on a hike. to tell the truth, Christine and I met each other. It was really amazing. Did Christine tell the story about how we met?
No, she did not.
Because this is so fascinating. So Christine was working. She had just released her first book, and she had an assistant that was going out and doing research for her about, you know, where to try to, like, different teleseminars to get on and radio shows, and was doing all this research.
Right.
And that assistant came across a series I was doing at that time, back in 2009, called The Women Masters. And I was interviewing people like Marianne Williamson and Christine Carlson and Sark and all these amazing women. I was having such a great time. It was one of my first, it was the first time I dipped my toes in the pool of internet and all of that good stuff. And it was just wildly successful beyond my dreams. And so I received this email from her that said, "Kindred spirits connecting." And the way that Christine puts it is that if she wouldn't have worked on reforming her inner mean girl, her inner comparison queen would have started comparing herself to me and getting down on her, like, why aren't you doing this fabulous series? What's wrong with you? Look at Amy, blah, 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 blah. But instead, she had reformed her inner mean girl, and this is the language that we later put around it, but she had reformed her inner mean girl enough to say, oh, I'm going to actually reach out to this woman. I think she's inspiring. And so she did, and I got this email from her, and I was just blown away. I said, oh, my gosh. And then it turns out, Steve, that we live 5 minutes from each other, literally. So we go out to coffee, and then we are on a hike one day, and we've just been, you know, talking and connecting. And on the hike, I was talking with Christine about my book, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. I had not even gotten a publishing deal yet. So she had something that I wanted. She just released her first book. I had something that she wanted. I was doing all this great stuff on the internet. And it was like the meeting of the minds. And I said on the hike, I was describing this voice in my head, and I said, it's like I'm in seventh grade again, and I'm not in the popular crowd, and I'm just getting whipped by this little thing. And she said, oh, it's like an inner mean girl. And I said, oh, my God, that's it. It is. It's an inner mean girl. We think about mean girls, and I don't know if people remember the movie Mean Girls. But it is. It's that inner mean girl, inner bully for you guys out there. And that's the one that's bullying us and having us keeping us small. And so through that, we ended up starting Inner Mean Girl Reform School and did our first Inner Mean Girl Reform School class, teleclass, a few years back. And it's just been wildly successful. We really hit a nerve with women. And we just feel so privileged now to have had over 500 women go through Inner Mean Girl Reform School and have touched over 15,000 women's lives through the work that we're doing. So it's just been such a joy, such a journey.
And empowering that many people, because really when they're going through this Inner Mean Girl Reform School, what you're doing is tweaking their agreement with reality. You're actually helping them regain control, because I think a lot of it is simply not feeling in control.
Absolutely. I love the way that you put that, tweaking their reality, because it is, we're telling ourselves a story constantly. You know, it's interesting, Steve, I was watching this phenomenal, fascinating National Geographic special on stress a couple weeks ago, and I was just blown away by really getting that what we can do as human beings. We're the only species on the earth that can actually think our ways into a fight or flight response.
Right.
Let's really take that in. We're the only species on the planet that can think our ways, ourselves into a fight or flight response. So you think about this. We're thinking about the future. We're having anxiety about the future, what you're going to do after the show maybe even. You know, maybe you're having anxiety about a situation at work or what have you. And then we think ourselves into these fight or flight responses. Or we're thinking about the past. We're just dwelling in the past, thinking about something, that, or maybe a regret that we have, something that we wish would have gone differently in our lives. And then there we are. We just think ourselves into our fight or flight response. Every other animal on this planet goes into fight or flight response when they're actually in danger, when the animal's coming after them and they're about to get eaten. But there's an end in sight. But for us, we put ourselves under all of this chronic stress. And we would say at Inner Mean Girl Reform School, it's the inner mean girl that's running the worst-case scenario in your head. And when you start recognizing that, then it allows you to start really connecting in with your inner wisdom's truth and the present moment, which is where all our power lies. And very rarely in the present moment do we need to be in this fight or flight response.
Well, because you bring up a great point of how we function, not only on a neuropsychological level, but on a physiological level,
yeah.
That we actually create that reality. So when your inner mean girl or inner mean guy is telling you this story, this fictitious
yeah.
story of fear, when they're telling you the story, you actually start inching towards it. It's kind of like when you start thinking about food, you get hungry. You weren't hungry a second ago until you started thinking about food, and suddenly you start thinking of and finding reasons to find yourself with food and
yeah.
go get food. Well, you will subconsciously do that as well. Well, you'll pair, and this is where language becomes so important, Amy, because when we're talking about things like, and folks, we're speaking with Amy Ehler. She's the author of Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. When we're talking about big fat lies you tell yourself, language becomes important because they'll say things like, I'm sure you get this, Amy. When you're telling someone and helping them through that inner mean girl, I'm sure they're saying, well, I think that the inner mean girl is just preparing me for what could possibly happen.
Right. Right.
But what we know, what we now know neuroscientifically and physiologically, is because you're inching yourself towards this, folks, and I need you to listen to this, folks, because you're inching yourself towards this, you're actually at that point not preparing for anything. You are preparing with something.
Mm.
You are pairing yourself to a reality.
Mm.
You are emotionally pairing yourself. So when you are inner mean girling yourself and saying, well, this is probably going to happen anyway. I'm probably not going to get the job anyway. I'm not going to probably get him to commit me to me anyways. I'm not going to be good enough anyways. You're actually pairing yourself with that reality. This universe conspires in your favor. Be careful what you ask and more careful what you demand with those thoughts.
I love it. I love it, Steve. Yeah, and, you know, because here's the thing that's so wild when you look, and, you know, in Inner Mean Girl Reform School, we have a whole session that we spend on brain science because I just think it's so important for us to get, this is real. We're not just making this
Absolutely.
Up. Steve and I are not just here, like, chit-chatting away. It's incredible, all of the studies out there. But I just find it so interesting that our subconscious mind does not know the difference between real and imagined events. It does not know
right.
the difference. And so everyone right now that's listening, if it's safe to do so, go ahead. We'll just do a little experiment because I want you to experience this. We've all had these experiences. We experience it all the time. But just go ahead and put your head back and open your mouth and close your eyes, and I want you to imagine that Steve and I are there just squeezing lemons into your mouth. We're just right above you, just squeezing fresh lemon juice right into your mouth, and lemon juice is just going right into your mouth. And just notice what happened. I bet 99.9% of everyone listening, if you did that, even talking about it, I start to get that feeling in my mouth as if there is actual lemon juice in my mouth.
Right.
And that is, and your mind, your conscious mind knows we're just pretending. We're just pretending. But guess what? Your body is reacting as if it is happening. And that is so important for us to really get about the way our bodies, minds, spirits work. So what is it? What is the lemon juice that you want to have today? Let's imagine something that's groovy and fantastic and fabulous that we want to have come into our life and start playing out that reality so that we are preparing, as you said, Steve, for that to come into our life. That's where it gets really exciting.
It is exciting because we
yeah.
learn as we go on, folks. Think about what Amy's just saying. She's reminding you something you may have realized or not realized. that your moods are actually physiological. We put a lot into our thought process, but you don't think hungry, you feel hungry. You don't think thirsty, you feel thirsty. You don't think excited, you feel excited. Our moods are physiological, and your body reacts to that. So when you're thinking about lemons, when you're thinking about that, your body's going to respond. How does your life change when you start thinking about victory? How does your body change when you stop that bullshit victim mentality you have and instead recognize you have a history of victory? How does your body change? As Amy Ehler points out, it responds, and then your life responds the same. I love that. It's got to be so empowering to have all those women in front of you and recognizing that this idea, this concept that you put together on a hike is really having a tremendous impact.
It is. It's so amazing to watch. You know, I'm thinking about one of our clients, Jennifer. She's a mom with three young children. And she came to Intermean Girl Reform School because her Intermean Girl was having her put herself last on the list every single time. She was feeling lethargic. She was gaining weight. She felt constant stress. Talk about chronic stress. You know, three kids, the oldest, I think, was at the time when she came to us, was 5 years old. Three kids under five and a career and a husband doing the crazy juggling act, which I know so many people, whether you're a mom or a dad on the call, can relate to. And through the course of doing Intermean Girl Reform School, you know, once a week we gather on the phone, we gather virtually, and we create community, which is such an important thing when it comes to doing this work. We create community, just like right on this call right now with you, Steve, and on this radio show right now. We're in community together. There is a life force and energies that are joining together, and major healings can occur when we come together. So when we come together for the specific purpose of saying, you know what, I'm getting the inner mean girl out of the driver's seat of my life. And so when Jennifer started doing that, she started realizing that her inner wisdom, which is really the voice of truth, the voice of the divine, the voice of God within, whatever you want to call it, when that got into the driver's seat in her life, everything in her life shifted. She actually ended up getting a new job. She released 25 pounds. She started really feeling this sense of peace, and she's now actually blogging for the first time in her life on the topics that she cares about as a mom. And she's really getting her message out into the world and really creating a local community as well. And so it's just been so incredible. So for everyone listening, what would happen if you finally put yourself first? And I don't mean in this selfish, crazy, you know, one of the big fat lies in the book is self-care is selfish. I'm not talking about being selfish and leaving your family and saying screw everybody and running off to Paris and forgetting all your responsibilities. I'm talking about putting yourself first and making your self-care a priority in your life. Because if you are not making it a priority in your life, then you have nothing left to give. It's time to stop running on empty. And that's just one of the hundreds of stories of women, of what happens for women when they reform their inner mean girl and start really getting their inner wisdom into the front seat in their life and into the driver's seat of their life.
I love that, because really then at that point, self-care is really the recognition of your value. It's self-value.
Yes. Beautifully put. That's right. It's, you know, because when you think about it, the only person that you can rely on in your life to be there for you from your very first breath to your very last breath on this earth, the only person that is going to be there for you is you. And yet so often we don't take the time, and I mean, it's just so easy to not put any time into cultivating a loving and nurturing and compassionate relationship with yourself. But boy, that's the thing that will transform your life right there. And I'm just thinking, Steve, I was speaking this last weekend at an event called Intuitive Warrior in San Francisco. Christine and I are going to also be an Intuitive Warrior in Los Angeles this coming Saturday, the 23rd. And I was there and I was talking with everyone about this one of my wake-up call moments. I was getting dressed. And I have a little girl named Annabella, who's one of the lights of my life. And at the time, she was about 2 years old. And she was in my room as I was getting dressed, and I was trying to get these jeans on, and they just weren't fitting so good. They weren't fitting the way that I wanted them to fit, Steve. And I'm standing there in front of the mirror going, oh, and there it comes, the inner mean girl, ready to just demolish me. there it was, the moment of truth where I was going to turn on myself. And I look down and I see this little two-year-old little girl looking up at me with this bright smile. And I realize, just like you were talking about at the beginning of the show, there was the moment where I could turn on myself or I could be my own best friend. And guess what? I had a witness. I had a witness that wasn't just witnessing me, but she was going to model in that moment what I was going to do. This was an imprinting moment. I could tell. It was like all of a sudden the room went a little bit fuzzy, and the only thing I realized was, oh, shit. This right. is the moment, Amy, where you are either going to walk your talk or you are absolutely going to self-abandon. And not only that, but you are going to model for your little girl how to react in the moment of failure, how to react in the moment when the jeans don't fit, how to react in the moment where you do lose. And I thought, no, I'm not doing it. I'm going to model for her what I want her to do if this ever should happen to her. So I looked right in the mirror, and I looked at myself, and I looked into my own eyes, and I said, I love you. You are beautiful. And Annabella looks right in the mirror and looks into her own eyes. I love you. You are beautiful. And then we sat there. I said, let's give ourselves a hug. And we start hugging ourselves and giving ourselves a hug. And it just turned into this self-love moment, this moment of total compassion. And I took off those jeans and I put on ones that felt a whole hell of a lot better. And I said, oh, thank God. I didn't go straight into all of those reactions that we can do, but instead I could really walk my talk in that moment. And I just realized I have this little witness that's with me all the time in my home, and that has been such a huge wake-up call for me.
And that's huge, too. What you just said, I mean, really, you're talking about a difference, a conscious difference between reacting and responding. What you did was you avoided the reaction, which is usually poison, and instead waited for the response, which is usually nourishment. That is a great conscious, an easy thing to say, but it's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But what a difference that makes, huh?
It made such a huge difference in myself on so many levels, because not only did I get to have a powerful moment with myself and get to break that pattern, to start breaking that pattern, but I also got to have a powerful moment as a mom, which to me is the most important job that I have on this planet beyond, you know, any work that I do or writing that I do. It's like Annabella, I'm the only mom Annabella will have, at least the only birth mom, and hopefully the only mom that she'll have in this way, shape, or form. And boy, I mean, I left that moment going, I've got to talk about this more. And any of the moms out there, any of the dads out there that have little witnesses in their household, just really knowing that the most important work we can do is model what we want for them. And so sometimes that can be the thing that just galvanizes you into action to do things like listen to the show with someone as positive and inspiring as Steve. So important.
Now, you've been speaking to women. You've been speaking, you're talking, first of all, about your book. I'm sure that came with a nice little tour, Big Fat Lies, Women Tell Themselves. Also, you've been lecturing and coaching for years. How has your interaction with people who want something different, people who, yes, some mostly are getting in their own way, but seeing the potentiality of all people, how has that changed your own goals? And how has it helped you at times get out of your own way?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I feel like for me, one of the things that this is doing this work for the last 12 years has done is it's really I've been able to witness, talk about my daughter being witness, but I've been able to witness so many of my clients, whether, you know, one of my private VIP clients or my Golden Circle, Inner Wisdom Golden Circle clients that Christine and I have, or, you know, clients that are in Intermingle Reform School or in another one of my programs, you know, being able to witness them overcome those patterns of self-sabotage and step into lives that they were born to live has inspired me so much to get my message out in an even bigger way. So it's really had my dreams and my desires amplify on such a deep level. It's like I just want to talk to as many people as I can about this, to talk to, like, what a privilege and an honor to engage people around the conversation of self-compassion, around self-love, self-esteem, like around this relationship with yourself, because I really got over the years that no matter how beautiful or handsome or rich or smart or successful a person was, on some level they were being way too hard on themselves. And so as I really understood that, not only from what was going on out there, but also internally, that none of the external things, the book deal, hitting the bestseller list, like none of that stuff, it really are the things that are going to make a difference for my relationship with myself. It comes back to doing that daily practice. It comes back to looking in the mirror and loving myself, looking at the new wrinkle and saying, hi, sweetie, welcome. Welcome to this beautiful body of mine. You know, like really being able to just really appreciate being a human being and being able to be with myself in the triumphs and be with myself in the failures in a way that is loving. And so it's just amplified my desire to get my message out there in an even bigger way and to reach as many people as possible. And anybody that's resonating with the message, they can go to innermeangirl.com, and Christine and I are going to be holding a call on June 27th to talk even more about this and teach even more about this because we're so passionate about it. So it's just like, I feel like it's just turned the knob up on me internally, Steve, and just made it so that I just want to get out there as big as possible.
Folks, this brilliant woman you're listening to is Amy Ehler. She's the best-selling author of Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. You know, we've been talking for a half hour already. What? We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to I'll get to some feedback. I'll probably continue my conversation, but I'll get to some feedback and feedback today. Well, Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show, or you could feedback through our website. If you're listening through our website, just click on Amy's name. It'll take you right to innermeangirl.com. Again, Amy Ehler's author, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. We're going to take a quick break. During the break, what do you guys want? The Rocky? You have two choices. The Rocky speech or the Neil deGrasse Tyson speech? You got two choices in 5 seconds. Four. Three. All right, we're going to get a quick drink. Neil deGrasse Tyson, it is an incredible physicist, astrophysicist. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth in Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We'll be right back.
What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?
The most astounding fact.
The most astounding fact.
Is the knowledge that the atoms that comprise life on Earth, the atoms that make up the human body, are traceable to the crucibles that cooked light elements into heavy elements in their core under extreme temperatures and pressures. These stars, the high mass ones among them, went unstable in their later years. They collapsed and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Guts made of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the fundamental ingredients of life itself. These ingredients become part of gas clouds that condense, collapse, form the next generation of solar systems, stars with orbiting planets. And those planets now have the ingredients for life itself. So that when I look up at the night sky, and I know that, yes, we are part of this universe, we are in this universe, but perhaps more important then both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up. Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big, but I feel big because my atoms came from those stars. There's a level of connectivity. That's really what you want in life. You want to feel connected. You want to feel relevant. You want to feel like you're a participant in the goings-on of activities and events around you. That's precisely what we are, just by being alive.
Yo, You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. You've got empoweredlivingradio.com with over 1,000 hours of this radio show available 100% free. I don't even want your email address. Keep your email address to yourself. The only thing I want you to do, listen, the only thing I want you to do is to share this information. Share it. Let other people know this is what we're doing. Let other people know that there are some kick-ass shows available to them 100% free. It's on iTunes. It's on our website. Let them know about some incredible people like Amy Ehlers. Let them know about some incredible workshops, books that are available like Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. Let them know we're all on the same team and in this together. Don't you get that yet? Haven't you realized that yet? Let's get out there and participate. One of the greatest things you can do for somebody is inspire them. And sometimes the best way to inspire is to share inspirational information. So when you're emailing, when you're aiming and Facebooking and tweeting, and you're sending another one of a cat playing the piano and whatever else people send each other, also send something inspirational. Hey, I heard this chick Amy talking to Steve today on the radio. She was great. Here's the link to the show. Here's the link to innermeangirl.com. Here's the link to Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. Do that for any of our authors. Do that for our seminars. Point is, share, share, share. And again, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on YouTube. Let people know what we're up to. We're having a great conversation with a brilliant woman. Amy Ehlers is a best-selling author of Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. We're here talking about inner mean girl reform. I know you've got a bunch of questions, but I'm going to actually answer first. Travis is in Toronto, and Travis said, you and Amy talked earlier about how your bodies don't really know the difference between you visualizing something and experiencing it. Can you please explain? Amy, do you mind if I explain for a second?
I love it. Go for it, Steve.
So, Travis, here's the scoop, brother. Turns out, on a neuroscientific level, we're actually always remembering something, even the now that we're experiencing. Now, some scientists disagree, but the average is about 1 to 2.7 seconds in what we experience the now. It takes us that long, Travis, to experience what we call now. But even if you're, as you're experiencing it, you're simply recollecting the current moment. Yeah, that's how that works. So your body, your mind is always experiencing something. As it goes further back, we call it a memory. As we call it now, we call it being alert to the now. But even then, it's experiencing. For instance, Travis, the cell receptors in your finger and the cell receptors in your nose actually function at a different pace. So if you were to touch your nose with your index finger, it feels like they touch at the same time. But you know what's crazy happening? Turns out your nose feels it first, and it takes your finger longer to feel it, but your brain slows it down so that you feel that it happened at the same time. How badass is that? So it turns out we're always remembering. We're always remembering our presence. We're remembering our present. That's why your brain, sometimes you have what we call a deja vu. Your brain's a muscle, brother. So you have different components that are in charge of different things. One is remembering the present. The other is holding on to the past. Your brain has a spasm sometimes, like your eye twitches. Your brain twitches sometimes. And so for a second, you will be remembering the present. And we'll call that deja vu. And we have a different part in the hippocampus that contextualizes it. And since our brain's job is to keep us from going crazy, it actually tells you that, oh, you must have had a dream about it. Oh, you must have, anywhere from you must have had a dream about it to must have been a past life. That's what it is. It's just a brain spasm. So you're always remembering, brother. And that's why when you visualize and you talk to an Olympic athlete and they'll say, oh, you ran this so quickly. You jumped those hurdles incredibly. They'll tell you, I visualized this 1,000 times. This is just the first time I'm running it where you guys can see it. But my mind has run this 1,000 times. And that's how that works. That's how that works, my brother. In a way, Travis, when we're talking to brilliant women like Amy Ehlers, and we're speaking to Christina Rilo, when we're talking to whoever, Dominic Ruiz, whoever it is, we all have different ways of really the truth of our experience, brother, is that we are all constantly delusional. And it's up to us. We're telling ourselves a story constantly. So it's up to us to get the stories that poison us away and to nourish the stories that empower us. And that's what brilliant folks like Amy Ehlers are doing. So that's how that works, brother. So, Amy, we're talking about inner mean girl. We're talking about the critic that seems to yell while your motivation is whispering. The critic is yelling. Mm. And you've learned, really what you've learned to do is not to eliminate it, because you know that reality would never let you eliminate it. But instead, instead of making it an enemy, making it an ally.
That's exactly it. You know, I was talking with some women over the weekend at this event that I was at, and I was talking to one of them, and she said, you know, I just want to, like, to kill my inner mean girl. I just want to kill her off. And I said, oh, sweetie, first of all, you know, the inner critic is there, you know, and in some, when you think about it, it's fear, it's the ego. We're talking really about the same thing. And they serve a purpose for us. They've served a purpose until they don't serve a purpose anymore. And so I said, why don't you try, and I'll encourage everyone listening right now to do this, why don't you just try turning towards your inner critic, turning towards your inner bully, your inner mean girl, and letting her know, letting him know, sweetie, it's going to be okay. We're safe. It's going to be okay. Huh. We are safe. And sometimes our inner mean girls need a hug. Sometimes they need to be cradled like a newborn babe. Sometimes they need to be sent to time out. Sure, absolutely. But oftentimes, they just need to be loved. They just need to be loved. And when you love them, when you give them the space to rant, when you get to just hear them, and then you can love them, that is when the power fades. That is when all of a sudden they can be turned into an ally. So all of a sudden that inner comparison queen can be turned into a talent scout. When that inner bully that is just mean to you can be turned into, okay, sweetie, you're in charge of running the worst case scenario. You go over there and do that. I'm going to go over here and focus on the best case scenario. You can just get that out of the way over there. But I am going to turn my imagination towards the best case scenario. And all of a sudden, it's like you get to have that scientist inside of you that's running the worst case scenario, that's doing those experiments off to the side, while you and your power is really focused on running the best case scenario and then creating and going into partnership with that. So yeah, it's about getting them back on your team. You can use these ones. Yeah.
I love it. And I love your approach. On a side note, I wonder if do you ever consider writing another book that perhaps is Big Fat Lies Women Tell Each Other?
Oh, fascinating, Steve. I love it. Well, you know, it's funny because I've always thought that my next book is Big Fat Lies Moms Tell Themselves, because it's been such a big part. I've always felt like this book is a series, and men, don't worry, I won't leave you out. Like, I've really felt that there'd be a series. But, you know, I really feel like the way that women interact with one another, first of all, it's changing. I mean, I can't tell you the number of amazing women that I have in my own life that are where our conversations with each other are empowering, where we're speaking truth to one another, where we're the voice that says, sweetie, that is a big fat lie. Let's talk about the truth here. Let's talk about the magnificence that I see in you. Despite what the media is portraying with all of the crazy reality television shows that are putting a spotlight on women beating each other down and bickering and not being a stand for one another, the frenemies, so to speak, out there.
Right.
I really feel like when that's coming up in our relationship, it's my inner mean girl and another woman's inner mean girl are doing a dance in the center of the room. Because I know that my inner wisdom, when my inner wisdom connects with another woman's inner wisdom, there is no competition. There is no comparison. There's just love and respect and being a stand for each other. And those are the kind of relationships that I'm interested in nourishing in my life and that I encourage everyone that's listening to nourish in their life. And I think that we do perpetuate the lies. You know, no wonder when you look at what the media is doing and what, you know, the advertising industry has done since the day we were born by feeding us all these insane messages about how not enough we are. But I think that there's a huge movement going on right now of women being there for one another and really empowering each other.
And that movement is going to rely on folks like you, because the reality of it is empowered women is bad for business. So it's really going to have to be, sadly, an underground movement that's going to be folks like you, folks like Christina Rilo, folks like Chris Carlson, folks like Gloria Steinem. You know, it's a continuous movement, because it's the economy, as you pointed out, the marketing. From the second day you walk into a bookstore, turn on a TV or radio, you're being bombarded with ideas of how you're not good enough, not pretty enough, et cetera. And by this, surprisingly, we have a product that can fix that.
Right,
that's,
exactly.
That's what they do constantly. So it's going to be folks like you. And I, as a student of history, I've always read and noticed that the societies that last the longest, societies that are most cultivated in science and the arts, are the societies throughout history who have empowered their women. The societies who have not have been destroyed. We talk about Egypt. We talk about Cleopatra. Cleopatra was a 14-year-old girl. But they made her in charge, and the science and the industry boomed, the friggin' pyramids. I mean, this was a society that Sumerian society had women rulers. And to this day, Sumerian society 6,000 years ago had Pluto depicted on their star charts. Pluto, something we didn't find until the 1930s. They had it 6,000 years ago. Again, empowered women. And the societies that don't, the societies that do not empower their women, they struggle, they get stupider and stupider. And unfortunately, you saw that trend happening here. That's why I love celebrating folks like you who are going to bring us back. You're going to bring us back Rocky Balboa style. Coming back.
I love it. Well, you know, I mentioned the National Geographic special that I was watching on stress, and there was this really fascinating. There's two things that I wanted to share about that I just thought were fascinating, speaking around women power. Baboons, the study that an incredible scientist out of Stanford, and I'm forgetting his name right now, has been studying this baboon tribe for over, I think it was 20 years. And baboons are a very interesting species because they're very similar to us chromosomally. But they also are one of the only species, they don't have a lot of predators. And so the things that cause the most stress in baboon society is actually them turning on each other. So the alpha males will beat up the submissive males. They will, have sex with the female baboons at their leisure. Right. They cause a lot of stress in their society by beating each other down. And one of the things that happened during the course of this 20 years is that the scientists went back, and unfortunately, this baboon tribe had gotten into a dumpster and had been exposed to tuberculosis. And so over half of the baboon tribe actually died. And interestingly enough, of course, who were the people that got that meat were the alpha males. And so all of a sudden, this baboon tribe had submissive males and women left, the female baboons left. And what happened was that they went into a completely different form of society where there was no longer the fight or flight responses, the heart rates, what was going on inside their veins actually switched, because they were no longer under chronic stress anymore, because the women were in charge, the female baboons were in charge. And so over the course of studying this, he was like, oh, my God. Then he thought, they'll never survive. Alpha males are going to come in and dominate. But no. The other baboons would come into the society, and they would actually assimilate and go, oh, the female baboons are in charge here. And they became the most peaceful baboon tribe. They're still alive, and this tribe is growing. And it became a completely different order in their society. Fascinating to see what happened. Their health improved, because he would go and take blood samples from this tribe, and he was like, oh my gosh, look at what's going on when we have nice guys, essentially, and women in charge. The health rates go down, the stress levels go down, and all of a sudden you have this really peaceful tribe out there. So what you're speaking is truth, my friend Steve. Just absolutely fascinating to see what can happen when the female energy, when the feminine, when the divine feminine returns. And that doesn't just mean women. That means enlightened men like you.
Yeah, and it's great because it really goes back to the microcosm of that, which is in the individual. How does your life change when you allow that energy to rule,
right,
when you bring that energy back? And I would talk your ear off, Amy, but I promise I'd get some of the feedback. So,
oh, you and I, we got to go out to dinner soon, Steve.
Oh,
we've got a lot to say to one another.
Let's go with Joanne. Joanne's in San Antonio, Texas. And Joanne wants to ask, how do you deal with the inner critic that causes guilt? It seems the more children I have, the more guilty I feel when I want to do something for myself. I know I'm not the only mom or woman that feels this guilt. Please help, and thanks for a great conversation.
Sweetheart, you are so not alone. I always say when I gave birth to my daughter, I feel like I gave birth to an army of inner critics as well, because there is such a tremendous pressure as a mom, and I think dads do feel this too, but I think in particular for the moms out there, where we start all of a sudden being run on guilt. And first of all, I really encourage you, and everyone listening, you can do this, to just write down the top 10 list of the things that your inner mean girl says to you. What are the words that she says to you to beat you up and put you into that feeling of guilt? Is it you're not spending enough time with your kids? Is it you're screwing them up? What are those big fat lies that your inner critic, your inner mean girl is beating you up with? So on one side of the page, I want you to just go ahead and do that. And on the other side of the page, I want you to ask your inner wisdom to respond. Just ask your inner wisdom to respond. So on one side, it might be like you're screwing up your kids. And on the other side of the paper, your inner wisdom responds with, your kids are doing brilliantly, and they're going to be just fine, whatever it is. And then I want you to take that side that has all of your inner wisdom's truth there, and I want you to work with those as affirmations for the next 30 days. So you can start building, and this is like building custom affirmations, so that you can start building in those neural pathways in your brain to start reaffirming with yourself the truth of what a good job that you're doing. And I think the other thing about guilt in particular is that there's guilt and then there's regret. And guilt is often stemmed from what we think the outer world says that we should be doing and is really none of our business. Whereas regret is when we are stepping on our own values, when we're actually saying, oh, I am actually doing something that does not work for me. So I want you to start separating out those two feelings and doing the work to start releasing the guilt. And then if there's those feelings of regret where you really feel like, actually, I am not living up to who I want to be as a mom. I had this experience recently with my daughter. Every time I would pick her up at preschool last year, I'd walk in and the teachers would say, oh, my gosh, Bella, what a surprise. Your mommy's here to pick you up. And I would have this pang of guilt of like, oh, my gosh, I'm not picking my daughter up enough. The school doesn't know me well enough. And they weren't saying it to be mean, but it triggered me into a total guilt response of feeling like, oh, my gosh. And then I started really looking at that. And I was like, well, wait, do I feel guilty about this or do I feel some regret? And I realized that I was not listening to my intuition, to my inner wisdom about how involved I wanted to be at her school, that actually it was my own value being stepped on. So at the beginning of this year, at the beginning of 2012, my husband and I worked out a schedule where once a week I dropped her off and once a week I picked her up, because I wanted those teachers to lay eyes on me. I wanted to have the relationship with my daughter where I got to have the conversation on the way to school. I wanted to be the one to walk in to pick her up from preschool and have her run into my arms and be able to check in with the teacher about what was going on. It was me. It was my thing, something that was important to me. And so I cannot tell you the difference that it made for me to say, oh, wait a minute. This feeling of guilt is me needing to pay attention to something that's important to me. And that change in that schedule absolutely, completely had my pickup and drop-off experience be completely different for me, and it made me be more of the mom that I want to be. So I want you to look at where are you feeling guilty and where is there regret, and if there's some regret there, if there's something there, go into the inspiration and make a change. That's what I would say to you, Joanna. Thank you so much for the beautiful question.
And thanks for your feedback. So in many ways, you can use that guilt also as a gauge.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Powerful
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, because it's like underneath the guilt, there may be something that you need to be paying attention to, or it may just be your inner mean girl's racket. So you got to really investigate it. Get curious about it. What's really going on here? If you have multiple kids, do you need to be doing, once a month, mommy and me with just one of your kids?
Right.
You know, there might be something in there that can really help heal that, and something really true for you to look at.
We're going to keep going with some more feedback today. Well, Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Just click on the instant feedback form, tell us who you are, where you're from, and feel free to ask a question. We're speaking with Amy Ehlers. She is the author of Big Fat Lies, Women Tell Themselves. Website is innermeangirl.com. That's innermeangirl.com. Dolores is in New Hampshire, and Dolores asks, I love when you talk about empowering women, Steve. However, I always feel that the more empowered you are, the more you scare away guys. Is this a critic lie, or is this just an observation? Please help. Thank you so much.
Oh, gosh, that's such an inner critic, sweetie. Such an inner mean girl. I've seen this all the time with inner mean girls that say the more empowered you are, the more you are in your power as a woman, that you are not going to be able to attract a great guy. And first of all, I'm living proof. I've been with my husband now for 12 years. We met in 2000. I knew on the second date I wanted to marry him. And he actually came with me to the event this weekend and was there in the back of the room running the table for me, because he just loves seeing me up on the stage, lighting up the stage and in my power. So I'm here to tell you that there are amazing men out there that love powerful women. So it's time for you to really shift that and start saying, I am ready to find the right guy for me that's going to love me up in my power. What would you say about
it'll
that?
It'll be a filter. Yeah, it's a filter, not a deterrent. Dolores, it's going to scare away the wrong guys, but that's good. That's good. That's not a bad thing. You can listen. You've been Dolores. Here's the question: you've been diluting yourself for how many years, and how has that worked for you? You already know the answer.
Yeah.
Be unapologetically you with your badass self, Dolores, and you'll attract the right guy eventually. Let them step up to your standards. Don't dilute yourself for anybody. It's a horrible feeling. We've all been there. Stop doing it. It's a lie. It's going to filter away the wrong guys. It's about time you stood for yourself. And again, know your value, know your worth, and demand it. We're going to keep going with some more feedback. Let's go with Julie. Julie's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Julie writes, excellent conversation today. I would love to read more of Amy's books when they come out. Does she continue touring, or what other type of projects does she do?
Thank you. What a beautiful question. You can always check out where I'm going to be and what's going on at wakeupcallcoach.com. That's my main website, wakeupcallcoach.com. And, I'm doing so many things virtually now because I love being in conversation, like with you, Steve, where we can actually include people from around the world. And so if you go to innermeangirl.com, you can start engaging with Christine and I in some powerful conversation. We're hosting a call all about the inner mean girl on June 27th. And if you can't make it live, you'll get the recording of that, where we're going to really talk about the inner mean girl. And I do some stuff live. I speak live as well. And it just depends. Sometimes I'm in different areas around the world. Being a mom, for me, one of the things about my values is being home as often as possible. So I do so much more virtually because I find that it works best for my lifestyle, and also means that I can hit the most people possible with my message. So you can definitely check that out at wakeupcallcoach.com.
And don't forget, with Amy or anybody that you ever hear on the show, folks, don't just wait until you're in your city. Sometimes you can make it happen. Sometimes you can find an organization that you think that Amy would be fantastic for speaking at, and contact that organization and help them make it happen. Most of the people that come on the show, love what they do. Do you hear Amy? She loves what she does. So just participate in it. And if you want her in your community, if you want your friends to see her live, then help make that happen. You'll be surprised at how accessible most of these folks are. And that's why I love hearing them and love speaking with them. We're going to go with some more feedback. Let's go with Angela. Angela's in Seattle, Washington. And Angela writes, what do you do on your breakdown days? Do you ever have days that you just melt down? How do you deal with those days? And on a separate question, do you journal?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, yes, I'm a human being. I have breakdown days. For sure I have breakdown days. You should have seen me during my book launch. I was like sobbing in the shower. It was such a breakdown time. But here's the good news. The breakdown really is the gateway to the breakthrough. And we see this in science as well. This is chaos theory. You must go through a period of chaos in order to reorganize at a bigger level. So what I always say when my clients come to me and they say, oh, my gosh, my inner mean girl is beating me up nonstop. I'm in total breakdown. I say, oh, good. What's the breakthrough that's afoot, honey? And then they'll say something like, oh, yeah, I just took a new job. Or I just fell in love for the first time. Or, oh, my gosh, yeah, I just got a book deal. Well, duh, yeah. So it's about really not going into the story that the breakdown means that something's wrong. The breakdown can mean that something is right and that you're just reorganizing at that higher level. So I really encourage you to, when in those periods of breakdown, to first of all, just imagine sitting side by side and holding hands with the breakdown. Stop resisting it. Just be with it. You know, if you're going through a period where the breakdown shows up as sadness, just sit side by side with your sadness. Hold that sadness's hand and just say, okay, I'm with you. We're going to make it. If you're in a breakdown that's causing a lot of anger, just sitting side by side with your anger and just breathing right through it instead of making it seem so scary. And this is where community helps so much. I mean, I'm an amazing couple different mastermind groups with Christine Carlson, with Christina Rilo, with Mike Robbins, with all these amazing people. And it's so great to have a community where you can say, I am freaking out. I am in breakdown. And they can remind you, oh, sweetie, what's the breakthrough? Oh, yeah, I'm about to release my first book. Oh, yeah, you know, I got this new thing that's happening. Oh, yeah, I just lost 20 pounds and I'm freaking out. I don't know how to relate to myself being 20 pounds lighter. Ah, yeah, you need the community around you to help remind you of your greatness in those moments where you feel not so great. So stop making it be so scary, sweetie. With regards to journaling, you know, I'm not a big journaler. I've gone through periods where I have been. I'm a big daily practicer where I actually do a daily practice. And usually it doesn't include writing for me. Usually I do it with some sort of music track, meditation, walk through some sort of guided visualization. That's what works for me and my inner wisdom, how I connect best. But boy, do I have a lot of clients and a lot of colleagues who journal on a daily basis and who find it to be absolutely healing. So it's about really finding what works for you, what helps you nourish yourself, and doing whatever works for you. There's so many different ways to connect in with your inner wisdom, and journaling is definitely one of the big ones.
Folks, once again, we are subject victims of Einstein's theory of relativity. It's been an hour. And it felt like a minute. Amy Ehlers is who we've been speaking with. She is the best-selling author of Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. You can check her out at innermeangirl.com. Amy, you're brilliant. You're awesome. And thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing some of that light, some insight and wisdom with our listeners.
What a joy and privilege, Steve. I just love you so much and love your beautiful audience. And just what a delightful way to start my day. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. And folks, again, I want you to check out innermeangirl.com. All right, so we had Christina Rilo on last time, and now Amy Ehlers. Could you imagine these two in one room? Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I'm sweating. I'm sweating talking to her. I'm sweating. She's powerful, powerful woman. I love it. Check out innermeangirl.com. That's innermeangirl.com. Amy Ehlers' book, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. We didn't really talk much about the book. She's been on the show before and we talked about the book, but this book is broken down This is like you could bring it to, you could read it in bed or bring it to the beach, whatever it is. It's and she really breaks down these big fat lies you tend to tell themselves. I think there's 59 total, and they range in all different kind of categories. Powerful book, very insightful. What you just heard is a good reflection of what you'll find in that book. Amy Ehler's powerful, innermeangirl.com. That's innermeangirl.com. I've got nothing else to say. She said it all, folks. Make sure that you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on YouTube. And more importantly, share. If Amy said something that inspired you, empowered you, tell somebody about her work. Tell somebody about her book. Buy somebody a copy of her book. Get somebody into one of her seminars or telecourses. Participate. We have these resources around us. Brilliant people who know how to make a difference in your life. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share. Nourish others as well. And when you're doing so, don't forget that this New Yorker loves you. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.